hand out these. Is it already passed out? Everybody's got it passed out? Okay. Grab you one of these things. As of right now, these have been given. Now, they're worth like $10 each. But a Bible Institute in the States, I asked them to send me one, and they said they would send me the cost, and they did not send me the cost. It may be free. It may not be right now. That is a required textbook. And right now it's free until they tell me. I've asked them how much is it, and they have not responded. They may just be investing in you. So I'm trying to ask you to pray that they don't want to charge.
I might keep it good and hand it back to you. Give it somebody next year, and then you won't have to charge them.
That's not the purpose of a textbook. The purpose of a textbook is for you to write in, because one of these days you could be standing here. I never, ever imagined I'd be doing this stuff. I'm sitting there in Bible college taking notes. I never imagined one day I'll be standing. But I did do one thing, and that was I kept everything I learned. I still, the notes that I have from Minor Prophets, I developed, now they're completely changed now, but my initial notes and all of my stuff that I taught an adult Sunday school class for 26 weeks, I taught the Minor Prophets, and I still have those notes. And I use them as the basis for what I'm teaching still today. So keep everything, because you may draw on some of this stuff. One day you may be asked to preach on missions. You'll say, man, I need something that's sort of concise, got a lot of good stuff that I can draw from to help me preach one day. Or teach the teens, I don't know. So keep your book. Put your name on your book right now. On the outside, this book belongs to... That way, well, we put it on the inside, just people will pick it up. But put it nicely up in the top right-hand corner or inside, but put it somewhere so that it is yours.
What if you want to pass it on to the next semester?
No, next semester I'll get some more. Always mess. I thought Weston was the only messer.
What's that?
Weston's bad influence.
You hear your name, it's like, what?
I always mess off.
Interesting. That's what you Wesser the Messer. Dennis the Menace. All right. I'm going to try to give you... Now, this is an evolving study. I have four sections of the Intro to Missions. I have a really exciting section on starting a church that we'll deal with at the end. And it's not developed completely at all. This is... I'm going to give you stuff that is in the notes. I'm going to give you a lot of experience, a lot of thoughts on the outside. And I ask that you really take this thing to heart, because this is God's heart, folks. In order to have a correct burden for me... Oh, let me go to your course requirements. Sorry. You'll look at your table of contents. You can look at that later on, but your textbook I gave you. There's another textbook that you don't have to have, but I'd like to order it in. It's called Operation World. It gives you an idea of just how lost and how in need of the gospel the world is, even though they think they're Christianized. What I need you to do by the end of the semester is write a 3-page report describing any area... a country or a people group in the world that you believe needs a Bible-believing church. You might think Cove. You might think, you might think Tralee. You might think Timbuktu. Any area that you think believes needs a gospel-preaching church, and what would be the necessary steps you would take to go there yourself and start a church there? I need you to think, what would it take for Weston? What would Weston do to start a church there? Not just train himself, even though that might be part of his 3-page report, but I need you to think about, and a 3-page is not very long, I need you to think about, what would it take to go to Afghanistan and start a church in Kabul? What would it take? Yes, sir?
We have to be a pastor first, aren't we?
Well, I'm not asking you to meet the qualifications of a pastor. I'm asking you to evaluate how much effort it would take to start a church in a different culture.
But you can't, like, unless you're a pastor. That's the first.
Do you have to be a pastor?
I'm not trying to get you to do it. I'm getting you to understand what it takes for anybody to do it, okay? I'm not sure. Can somebody help me explain it to him, what I'm asking? It's not that I'm saying, Weston, this is what you're going to do. I'm asking Weston to sit back and go, if God called me to be a pastor stroke missionary, if God told me to go to the Ukraine and go to Kiev, the capital city, or to a tiny town outside of it, if God called me, what are they like in Kiev? What are they like in Moscow? What are they like in Norway? What are they like in
Northern Ireland.
Anywhere. All right, anywhere. Yeah, can you imagine an Ockney going to Belfast?
I have to learn to speak English.
Speak English. Love it.
I think the easiest way is if he examines you, you examine Pastor Craig, and see what it took for him to get here to start a church, and write about it, what it took.
Yeah, just the way I'm but I'm not, yes. If it was me.
It's the but I want you to put your feet in the shoes so that you're not just writing, you know, disconnected. I want you to think, if it was Weston trying to do this, what would Weston have to do? Weston would have to learn another culture, language, would have to move. You see, I want you to just to look at the mechanics of it and see there's quite a bit of work in starting, not just staying, but starting. Yes, training. But I want you to think about it, okay? Why do you think the area would need a Bible-leading church? Maybe there's an area that has plenty of them.
So it's kind of like a surface kind of report.
I'm not asking for really deep. This is only introduction, but it does get you to start thinking about what is involved in starting a church, because people sometimes don't do things because they're afraid of looking at the details, and you get called by being in the details. When Jesus said, look on the fields, when he asked them to look on the fields, he was asking them, look at how big it is, look at how wide it is, look at how far gone it is, look at how few laborers there are. You get called, hint, hint, when you look at the details. So I'm trying to get you to start to look at the details of church planting. Okay?
So each individual's review on this would be completely different.
Yeah, I'm not asking
because
for exactly what's right.
I would be married with four boys. Mm-hmm. Weston would be looking at it from a singles point of view.
At this point.
Whereas John would be looking at it from except for his wife.
Yes.
Without any kids. So everybody would be
but
different.
But Weston might need to put on there,
I
need a wife.
Mike,
I
need a great wife.
Well, that's why it's coming from.
Good.
The pastor help.
I know. So look at it and say, if you right now were trying to prepare, you'd say, this is what Weston, me, would have to do to do it. I'd have to get a wife. I'd have to really stick with Pastor Craig and get a lot of Bible Institute
but
training.
But you need a wife for that. Because
to keep
Linus Smith came off.
I know. And he's the exception to the rule. But I know you. You need a wife. Okay? All right. You got to attend 80.
Fast.
Let's run one. 80% of the class sessions, you got to be here. Don't just bow out and say, I'm tired, I'm sick. If you're sick and you're not contagious, don't miss. Completely fill in the class notes like you're going to do, and I got to review them at the end of the semester. You've got a final exam. You must make a 70% score, and you've got to read the assigned pages I'm going to give you in that book. That book will be a really enjoyable read. It's small, and it's really good. I've enjoyed it. So, let's go to an introduction. In order to have a correct burden for missions, we've got to have a correct foundation. Having pity for the people. Oh, look at those poor people over in Africa starving. Is that what calls you to go? Or maybe because you're concerned about them because of a story you read, or a picture you saw in National Geographic. That is not what missions is about. We need a broader and deeper foundation than just a feeling for missions. The missionary enterprise effort is no human conception. We didn't come up with this idea, God did. It is from the very heart of God himself. Jesus Christ is the evidence of God's love for mankind. Jesus Christ is the greatest missionary. This is very clear in the Bible, John 3:16 and 17. Let's go, Andrew. Andrew, did you use this book?
No.
Okay, all right.
No, I used Starting a New Testament Church by Ricky Martin.
Okay, John 3:16 and 17. You know John 3:16, but can you quote 17? No, verse 17 goes along with verse 16, and it is the fullness of those two verses that actually bring missions out. Just one second, listen.
John 3:16 and 17. Okay. It says here, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved.
So God sent a missionary somewhere so that they would not be condemned, because they were what? Condemned already. So he sent a missionary so they'd be saved. Isn't that cool? Yes, sir, Weston. Okay. You got tons of scripture. God has given us the ministry of reconciliation, 2 Corinthians 5:19, so on and so forth. So the redemption of the whole world was God's great purpose all the way from the beginning, Acts 17 says. So one writer said the Bible is the story of God's search for man, and every other book tells of man's search for God. So every book you pick up, even though they talk about philosophy, evolution, it's politics, you know what they're looking for? They're looking for God. Mm. They're looking for answers. This is God looking for man. All right, number A under your lesson, the missionary idea in the Old Testament. Did you know the missionary idea in the Old Testament shows up really powerful in the choosing and the calling of Abraham? Genesis 12:3 there, Tony. I give you lots of scriptures. I usually only ask you to read one. You know, if you really want to get this thing, it's kind of like discipleship. You need to look up every one of them. But we don't have time. When we hit the minor prophets, right now I'm being very nice to you, but because I want everybody to get on board, but we will race. And we may not get out of here till 1 if I can squeeze it out of you sometimes.
Genesis 12:3, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed.
Now that's wild. How is this one guy and his wife going to bless all of the world? Through his extroverted activities, through his life, through his children, through his work. It's like a missionary. Mm-hmm. Missionary didn't go and hide. Missionary goes and affects the people around him. That is the purpose of a missionary. So in the choosing and the calling of Abraham shows God's plan of blessing every person on this planet, not just Israel. Number two, sending Joseph. God, did Joseph sign up and say, "Here am I, Lord, send me"? Is that what he did?
No.
No, you know what God did? He said, "I need a missionary to go down to Egypt to save his people." Well, he's not going to like it, but I'm going to send Weston down there, and he's going to prison. He's going to be a slave.
I dreamed of prison last night. That's a prophecy.
But the sending of Joseph to Egypt and saving many people from starvation. I can't take it to Genesis 45. It says, even Joseph realizes it. God sent me here. Listen to the missionary's call. God sent me to Ireland. So if you go anywhere, it's not because you say, "I want to go to the Bahamas as a missionary. I want to go to Costa del Sol. I want to go to Florida to go as a missionary." That's you calling. But when God sends you, that's the missionary calling, okay? Number three, going out of the way to procure salvation of two Gentile women, Ruth and Rahab.
Sorry, Ruthland?
Rahab, R-A-H-A-B. You know, Ruth was a Moabite. She was not a Jew. And yet God worked everything out so that Ruth would become part of the people of God, and her grandson to the fourth level was David. And so, but God saved Ruth and Rahab the harlot. God went out of his way to save those two Gentile women. That's missions in the Old Testament. Number four, the prayer of Solomon. 1 Kings 8 there, Eric. 1 Kings 8, 41 and
43.
41 to 43.
Yeah.
"Moreover, concerning a stranger that is not of thy people Israel, but cometh out of a far country for thy name's sake, for they shall hear of thy great name, and of thy strong hand, and of thy stretched out arm, when he shall come and pray toward this house. Hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and do according to all that the stranger calleth to thee for, that all the people thereof may know thy name, to fear thee as do thy people Israel, and that they may know that this house which I have builded is called by thy name."
Wow. Notice he says that all of the earth. Okay. Now this is really bothering me. Give me a second. For some reason, recording. I'm going to have to use some of your recordings. This thing is not set right. My foot. It's recording very slow.
Two.
think it's a book with the updated.
Yeah, well, everybody else's is working analog level.
Okay.
Let me give it a try here, just a second.
It's the standard app that comes with the phone.
Oh, the voicemail.
Mm.
Yeah, okay.
I find it the best. It's the best. It's most reliable. It just works. Yeah.
Well, mine has been working fine. But this is recording like 0.1 second now has gone by. 0.2 seconds has gone by. This thing's not recording right. Like, how does it... Settings. Sorry, guys. But this is the whole purpose of it. Method, the marker, countdown, record four, quarter to 12. This was all set up right, and it's not. Okay, who is recording it? All right, I'll just keep yours. I'll work on this later and not worry about it. Okay, we move through. So the prayer of Solomon. Solomon's praying for the whole world to know the God of Israel. Number 5, in the book of Psalms, there is a constant worldwide vision. Psalms 2 ends with speaking to the whole world, saying that, why do all the nations and the kings rage? And then he says at the end, he says, you better kiss the sun, lest he be angry. Mm. There's this concept of the world needs the Messiah. Number 6, throughout the prophets, Isaiah over and over and over, Habakkuk and Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, Jonah is a foreign missionary. He's a Jewish missionary going to a foreign land and converting an entire nation, isn't he? So B, the missionary heart of the New Testament. The subject of missions can be seen in the Old Testament, but missions is the heart of the New Testament. Every book in the New Testament was written by a Jewish missionary. All 11 apostles were missionaries. Every book in the New Testament, when written to a church, was written to a church started by a foreign missionary. When Paul started the church at Corinth, were the Corinthians Jews? He had to go to him and start a church there. God has one son. Did he write to the church? Was there a book written to the church of Jerusalem? Was there a book written to the church at Jerusalem?
Doesn't say at Jerusalem.
No, there was never a book written to the church of Jerusalem. Was there a book written to the church in Galilee?
No.
Or was there a book written to the church in Bethlehem?
No.
No. There were plenty of churches everywhere all over Israel. No, they were written to Corinth, written to Colossae, written to foreign countries. So the New Testament is about missions out there. Not at home, not in Israel, not where we're comfortable, where our comfort zone is. God has one son, and he was a foreign missionary. Okay, he went to a foreign land. Every book in the New Testament written to an individual was written to a convert. Philemon, Timothy, Titus, these were not Jews. They were written to a missionary who was in another country. Now you'll see evangelism throughout the Gospels. Gospel means what? What does gospel mean, Eric?
News.
Good news. Yes, good news.
I thought that was meant truth.
Nope.
It's like, don't know, Matt Dehaney, right? Yale's as well. If he was saying that's what we said, that's gospel.
I know. But that's not what it means.
Gospel.
That's
gospel.
That's gospel.
Like.
That's I know, but that's how you used it. That's not what it means.
Define the word.
Yeah. The word gospel is actually two words, which is God spell or God's news. And we come out with good news. That's where it came from. It's actually... comes from Middle English, from 1300s. And they would say that's good news or God's news. That's what God's spell meant. And then they put it together like gospel. How many of you know what hello means? Some people think it means hell no. Put together. But it's not, okay?
Like hell is in the lower parts of the earth?
No. No. Hello is short for health. To you. That's what hello is. Greetings, which is, may you be blessed. Health to you. That's where hello is. Squished together. from several words to one. All right? You know, the most used name in Ireland, especially in Cork, is Timmy. Come here to me. It's short for come here to me, okay?
Sorry,
so that's gospel. My jokes are good.
Pass the old doors, they're broken. Except for the Shuhai one.
The Shuhai. Yes, okay, you like that one.
Can
so.
Can I ask a question on that? Actually?
Yes.
What is the word gospel?
Shuhai.
Like, it's a Greek word, is it?
No. It's a Germanic word.
What's the Greek term?
Evangelium. I'm not sure if I'm saying it right. Evangelium.
And what does that mean?
That means good news. It means good news.
All right, okay.
Okay? So when we evangelize, we are getting people to believe the good news. All right? So, good point. But that is where it comes from. No time, but we're in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. It's the constant preaching. Let's look at just one of Matthew 9:36-38.
Sorry, Pastor, can you fill in there on that? And
how can good news be good news unless it is published?
Published.
It's no good having good news. People don't know it. If there's a community and it's got a sickness, and there's somebody who has some news about how to get it cured, it's no good if it's not being given out to everybody. So, Matthew 9:36-38, Weston. Yes, sir.
But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep have no shepherd. Then said he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the labourers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth labourers into the harvest.
Okay.
His harvest.
So you see right there, gospel. You gotta pray that God would keep sending. And I pray that. Probably not enough. Because I'm watching nobody go, you know, compared to what is the need. And you're like, there's a need for good news to be published. Mark 2:17, Brother Dan.
When Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, they that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance.
Wow. So he says, the most important thing is people who are hungry, you need to go and give them the gospel. Luke 4:43, some of these aren't the best. I just picked some of the scriptures, but Luke 4:43, they're very.
He said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God in others, to other cities also, for therefore am I sent.
Alright, I'm preaching about a coming kingdom.
Right.
And then John 1:12-29, Alberto.
But as many as receive him, to them give he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. The next day John said, Jesus coming unto him, and he said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the whole of the world.
Okay, so this is evangelism, all right? Getting people to receive him, getting people to look up and see him as the Lamb of God. Takes away the sins of the whole world. You see in the book of Acts, Acts 1:8 says, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and Judea, and Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You're to be witnesses. So throughout, Acts 1:8 begins in Jerusalem, and ends in Rome. And chapters 13-28 is a history, beginning history, of foreign missions. You got evangelism in the epistles, and evangelism even in Revelation. Revelation 22:17, John. Just look at the very last verse. Revelation 22:17.
And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely.
So who's the Spirit?
Who's the Spirit? Jesus.
The Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Holy Spirit. The church.
Not just one missionary, not just one pastor, but the whole church is saying, come on, drink of the water of life. So look at the Great Commission of Matthew 28. Graham, if you pick up Matthew 28, 19 and 20, please.
Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world.
Amen. Excellent. So when we speak of the Great Commission, we speak of the great responsibility. Can you write that down and circle it? When we talk about the Great Commission of Matthew 28, we're actually talking about the great responsibility given to the church and the command for us to execute it. Responsibility. The commission is given 5 times as your fill-in after the resurrection of Christ before he ever ascends. Imagine, the most important task in the world was given in simple, common, given to simple, common men who were lacking higher education. They were just like us. The commission, according to Matthew, in Matthew, we see Jesus, the King of Kings. In Matthew, we see Jesus as King of Kings. So in the instance of this commission, we find his kingship emphasized. If you notice in verse 18, Graham, if you read verse 18.
And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth.
Good. So you see the power of the king, all power. The purpose of the king, go out, teach all nations, make disciples. The process of the king is going, teaching, and baptizing. You know, teaching all that Jesus taught, teaching them all things that I've commanded you. The presence of the King, I'm with you. It's me that makes it work, guys. Don't miss the emphasis on making disciples. This is the focal point, the main point. The failure of many mission movements has been that of, they proclaim the gospel, but they never grow the convert. They never get them on their own. Do you know, any guy can make babies. It takes a real man to make, be a father and grow a teenager. Yes, sir.
That's what, as you said, I think it was Jonah said to, maybe not, but the other day, in the north, in all the years that I lived there, I never seen a discipleship program. And one church I went to, which is a Pentecostal, went for 2 years, they had a big evangelism movement. I think there were about 20 people saved at it, and within 3 months they were all gone.
Yeah.
Because the emphasis was encourage them to speak in tongues, nothing else.
Yeah.
You know, and it seemed when, for me, I looked at different, I just started Genesis, read through, and have done ever since. But I had to go and search out things for myself to learn to grow. There was no program there. You know, people fall away and they actually don't grow. And I think that's probably too why people let them go off in error. There's no one to guide them in the right direction.
Oh, they're starving. They want somebody to feed them and they end up in the Mormons.
Yeah.
And I'm a Jehovah's Witness. They end up with somebody who'll sit down with the Bible.
Well, that's cults like, but they don't even have to go into cults. They can go into other branches and tangents.
But my point is, they will, if somebody opens the Bible, they don't care who they are. Just teach me. Yeah. They find themselves in the cult. Now we got the, notice the words, go, teach, baptize, and then teach some more. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. 4 things. Number 4, the commission according to Mark 16:15, Andrew.
And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature.
Okay. The method of missions is preaching. The place of missions is?
The word.
John Wesley was really burdened about preaching. So he went to his Episcopal church, his pastor, and he says, I believe God wants me to pastor and preach. And the guy says, all right, well, you got to be licensed. We've got to evaluate you. And he took some tests, and they talked to him, and they says, no, we can't really say that you're a good Episcopalian. and no parish would take you. You're very uneducated. You're not very smart, so on and so forth. They really were really stupid. And so he said, well, if no parish will take me, then my parish is the world. And he set out to start preaching, and he led loads of people to Christ. And I started a Methodist church, as a matter of fact. So the place of missions, don't just only worry locally, think about it all over the world. And then the message of the gospel, the message of missions is the gospel. I determined to not know anything save the gospel of Jesus Christ. Save the cross of Jesus Christ, the good news of the cross. Number five, the commission according to Luke 24:44-49, there, Tony.
And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you, while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with the power from on high.
Wow. So, the outline of the commission, the foundation again, is the scriptures. He opened unto them their understanding of the scriptures. People have to have the Bible. Any missionary goes to a country that doesn't have the Bible in their language, you know the first thing they do? Spend 10 years translating it. And I mean, it is an unbelievably hard task to learn a language. Some languages don't have any, they don't have any written language at all. And missionaries give them a language. It is incredible. So that you can give them the Bible. So you must start with the scriptures. You've got to give them the law of Moses, the prophets, the Psalms, the New Testament. You know what most people do? I've seen people hand out New Testaments. I kind of don't mind handing out a New Testament, but I don't like it. You know why? It's not the gospel. People think that the New Testament will save people. If that's all you have, yes. But, man, Jesus said, and he started with the law, the prophets. He took them through the Psalms. Number three, the command, number two, the content of the gospel.
Old Testament written yet, see?
But it worked. The Old Testament worked.
That's all I was telling, see?
I understand. But my point being, don't think that the New Testament has great value without the Old Testament with it. That's why I like to put it as a package. Number two, the content of the gospel is the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Our message is not a humanitarian, we love you message. It's God loves you because you're lost. Number three, the command is, did you notice repentance should be preached? Mm-hmm. I deal with, you know, I'm on somebody's blacklist in America because I preach repentance. I'm famous. Another guy quoted me. I was checking on something. A guy quoted me. He said, this Reverend Ledbetter over in Ireland, I don't know what he's doing over there. He believes you need to pray while you're studying your Bible.
What?
I know.
Is he a pastor?
Yeah. He's just a messed up guy. I say you ought to study your Bible prayerfully, and he makes a big issue out of it. The problem is this: he's not a Baptist. He's a Church of England. He just says it's just. This is what he says. He's a vicar. I think he is. He said it's just like any other book, and I can get something out of it without actually praying while I'm reading it. But anyway, this guy freaks out over America, saying these preachers say that you need to preach repentance when we ought to only preach belief. I think I'm going to quote Jesus that says that repentance should be preached throughout the whole world.
He said Paul, when he said repent and believe the gospel.
I know. But one doesn't go without the other. Amen. Anyway, repentance needs to be, and the remission of sins should be preached. The place of the gospel among how many nations?
All.
Thank you.
Sorry, number three, Pastor.
Number three was repentance. Number four, all. The instruments of the gospel? You are.
Witnesses.
You are witnesses. Number five, six, the power of the gospel? It's the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Not your preaching ability. Mm-hmm. Not the internet tools that we use. Mm-hmm. Number B, the message of the commission is spelled out in Luke. He said that Jesus suffered and rose from the dead on the third day for us. Repentance and remission of sin should be preached in us. Christian life can only be lived through the power of the Holy Spirit through us.
Pastor, can I ask you a question there?
Yes.
We know that God focuses more on your availability than your ability. But when the 11 apostles after Pentecost had received the gift of tongues, and they had gone out their separate ways to preach the gospel, we know that they were simple men. Would it have been the power of the Holy Spirit that was working through them that gave them the courage and the knowledge to be able to speak about what Jesus had done in the 3.5 years that they spent with him, and also speak about what we learned in the last lesson, which would have been the minor prophets and all the other prophets. But my question is this: today, if you have simple guys, and I'm sure everybody here has different. Everybody here has different levels of intelligence. Okay, but let's just take the. I won't say the lower form of intelligence because I don't want to insult anybody. But
keep me out of it.
But where would a person that wants to spread God's word and to preach God's word, that wouldn't be highly, that wouldn't have a high IQ, get the strength and the knowledge from within to be able to do that? That wouldn't have, we'd say, that wouldn't have had a great education background, that wouldn't be very knowledgeable, but has a passion and a fire burning within him to spread this word. Where would he get that from? How would he go about do that? Would it be through prayer? Would it be through study? Or would it be just through basic, what I would call, faith in God, that just leave it up to him and he'll do the rest? Where would that come from, do you think?
It's an excellent question. People are divided in different categories, like you were talking about people in a lower education, stuff like that. Peter and John were labeled as ignorant, unlearned. They were labeled as hillbillies, stupid, just plain bricks. These guys, you couldn't teach them if you tried, everybody thought. And yet, these ignorant and unlearned people, God used very ignorant and unlearned to deal with. Right, let me just do it this way. Peter and John are ignorant and unlearned. So let's just take Peter for a minute. He's a fisherman. That's what he is, okay? He's not educated. He probably left school the type of school that he had, he probably left when he was 14. And yet God took Peter, and you have ignorant and unlearned, you have religious, who are educated religious, very aware. I'm talking about religious and theologically religious and doctrinal, stuff like that. Peter went and worked with them. He was not dealing primarily with the ignorant and unlearned people, even though that was his qualification. He could have reached them. God took a Paul, who was of the highest caliber of education, and he had him dealing with dumb, stupid Gentiles, barbarians who didn't even have the ability to put three sentences together. So, that did not mean that education is bad. And it doesn't mean that ignorance is good. But God takes you and puts you out of your comfort zone to reach a people who are unlike you. So just take it as it is. You don't have to. Peter did not have to reach the highest education. Or he just had to say, I'm enough. Wherever God puts me, I'm just going to deal with him. But I guarantee you, Peter, as he preached, and as he, after the resurrection, I believe Peter, he said this, go to Acts chapter 6.
But Pastor,
Just a second. Let me keep my thought because I want to, lose it here. Acts chapter 6. Eric, would you read chapter 6? And verse 3 and 4.
Can I hit Weston here? Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word.
Okay. Now, they're ministering the word, but I guarantee you they're also studying. They're learning. They're growing. Peter never stayed ignorant. When he writes 1st, 2nd Peter, he is a different man than he was on the day of Pentecost. And Pentecost, he's a different man than he was 3 days earlier
okay? I'm sorry, 50 days earlier, when he denied Christ. My point is, they never stayed the same. They constantly grew. And Peter says, you better find people who are wise, smart, to deal with this business. But God doesn't always use the smartest. That's my point. So in your answer, do you think God starts with an available man, but he never says, that's all I need. He says, now I'm going to develop you. Mm-hmm. And he's going to make you fit your people, not by making you... He dealt with the religious Jews. Peter's calling was to the circumcised Jews. And the circumcised Jews hated listening to Peter because Peter was ignorant. He didn't know what he was talking about. But that's who Peter converted and worked with the most. So God fashioned Peter to reach them, not by making him super intelligent, super religious, but by the power of the Holy Ghost, by him praying and getting wisdom and learning and then going and doing in spite of his limitations.
So would I understand it so that whatever your ability, regardless of your availability, whatever your ability, God would put you into that certain section of society to maybe evangelize there? No?
I found it to be the opposite. God always takes somebody and their ability. I mean, I want to be able to reach anybody, mm-hmm. all right? But God has a certain type of person that he has me especially working on that I feel uncomfortable with. And that's how God works. God does not work with, okay, Craig has a degree, I don't have it, but Craig has a degree in biochemical engineering, so I'm going to use him to reach all biochemical engineers in the universities. That's not how it works. God takes somebody from Texas who love BB guns and grasshoppers and electronics and stuff like that, and he takes them over to Ireland and throws them out in front of everybody and tries to get them to relate to him, even though they can't.
Foolish to confound them.
That's right. He uses foolish things.
A scientist can be foolish in a church people, but he confounds them.
God has to strip down a Paul, strip down a Moses, strip down anybody to get him to deal with who he may be focused on. What's neat about Paul, deals with ignorant, foolish Gentiles, but he gets the opportunity to speak to the Stoics, the Epicureans, the highest level of intelligence from time to time, and he's head-to-head with them. You put me down, I've got to teach creation evolution at the University of Cork and at CIT, and I thoroughly enjoyed it, but that's not my ministry. All right, that's my way of thinking. I love being challenged, thinking details, and science for science, fact for fact. That's what I enjoy doing, but that's not my calling. My calling is to go door-knocking and deal with a woman who's been separated from her husband for 9 years, and has two kids dead because of drugs, and that's out of my league, and yet that's where I'm ministering.
So we'd say on an intelligence point of view from 1 to 10, 10 being the highest, 1 being the lowest, if your level of intelligence we'd say is, give it a 4, right? Okay? Is your intelligence only going to be, will you only reach that 4 within God's spectrum of preaching? Or will it be
intelligence in terms of education?
Yeah. No, I'm not.
Or even smartness, wisdom, whatever.
No. I'm not thinking about intelligence, about education. Right. I'm talking about a person's level of ability within that intelligence.
Did you hear a guy with a slingshot?
David.
Okay. Listen to this verse and take courage. And a little child shall lead them.
Okay.
So, here's a 12-year-old Jesus, and he's in the temple. And he's got doctors and lawyers listening to him. Not because that he was smarter than them. Not because he acted smart. They hung on every word. Because he talked like he knew God. And he had answers. And so you just need answers. You don't need intelligence. An answer will go a long way further than the most wise sounding intelligence.
Okay, and can I just finish off?
Okay.
But don't you need... the ability of intelligence to be able to preach.
No. Your Honor. We read that on Wednesday night. I came not to you with excellency of speech and with wisdom of words. Paul did not have great speaking abilities. Matter of fact, he put people to sleep when he preached.
Okay.
Okay?
But it's kind of like when you look at Paul...
But that does not mean that you should ever be satisfied. Well, I don't know how to conjugate a verb. Mm-hmm. I don't even know how to marry him. But you ought to learn how to speak. You ought to learn how to communicate to your audience.
You're constantly
adapting a Peter to the religious, a Paul to the ignorant. You're constantly developing to your audience.
Okay.
And so that's good, but never make it that, well, I can't speak. I can't speak.
Well, what about a guy that's very shy in himself, and he wouldn't be a great people's person? He wouldn't be, you know, he wouldn't be, he'd stick to himself, and he'd keep to himself, and shy type of person. But he'd have, as I said, he'd have a fire within him for God, but he's just a very shy person. Are you saying that, or could we say, that he would never make... a guy that would talk a lot or be able to express themselves a lot, like say Dan. Do you know what I mean? You know, we'd say a guy that wouldn't talk a lot. We'd say if there was a guy who just kept himself, he came to church and kept himself, but he had that passion and desire and fire within him. Whereas a Dan that could get up on a Sunday morning and
great confidence,
great
ability. Yes, yeah. God uses all kinds. Don't think that we're saying that God uses only the best. Or only the worst. God uses all kinds. And when in men's retreat, you will learn about a man who had all ability.
Moses.
God let it all just wash out. And after 40 years in the wilderness, God said, I'm going to use you to go and conquer Egypt. And Moses stuttered, stammered, struggled to put sentences together. Because he's only talked to sheep for 40 years.
Right.
And he now says, I can't do it. And the Lord said, who made your mouth? I will teach you what to say. Not, Moses, you can do it. That's what the world says. The world says, you're number one. You can do it. Go in there, champ. You're the best. That's how the world pumps us up. And God says, I will teach you. I will enable you as you go.
So would the Holy Spirit play a big part in a person's ministry?
110%.
Okay.
Jesus said, look, he says, when I go, I'm going to send a comforter to you. And he said, and the Holy Spirit will bring to your remembrance
what I taught you.
I, Jesus, have taught you. So
well, when the Holy Spirit comes on you, he says, then you shall be witnesses. Mm-hmm. Right, so it's just because of the Holy Spirit. Dan.
I think we're looking at this in man's view, and we're not looking at it from God's view. Because he's giving us a message. And once the availability of the man, no matter who he is, how smart he is, or how dumb he might think he is, it's the message that has to come across. When the man's filled with the message, then he's able to proclaim that message.
17 years old, sitting in a...
Shouted from the highest rooftops.
It's the message that's important, not the man.
17 years old, sitting in a church with about 125 other people at my very first missions conference, 8 missionaries from all over the world preaching, 1 missionary from Chile spoke with a lisp. He said he took great courage of going to Chile because another man, 20-some-odd years earlier, had been called of God to go and preach the gospel and in America. And he tried to talk. His pastor let him teach. But he talked like this. And he couldn't, because he had polio. And he couldn't speak words very well. And nobody would listen to him. So he set out just with nothing. He set out to make his way. This was back in the 60s, back when you could do this. He set out to make his way down to South America. He had heard of Venezuela. They wouldn't let him in. He tried to get into Colombia. They wouldn't let him in. But Chile said, yeah, come on in. You're harmless. They let him come in, gave him a residence visa. He just said, I just want to come and preach the gospel. They said, you're harmless. Yeah, sure. He said, I want to go up to that mountain. This is this man telling me the story of how he got called. With his lisp. So I want to go up to that mountain. He says, you can't get up there by helicopter. He says, well, the next time somebody will take me up there, let me know. He was sitting down on the bottom, some village or whatever. He's already a mile up. This is another 2,000 feet up higher. And he says, next time a helicopter will take me up for free because I don't have any money. Drop me up there. So they took him up by helicopter one time. He says, we may not be back for 6 months. He says, that's fine. Just drop me off. They're speaking Spanish up there. All right, he's from America. He didn't know any Spanish. He's trying to learn. He's up there. He's not visited. Nobody comes to see him for like 3 or 4 years. A missionary, this great pride and his great abilities, says, I'm going to go up to that mountain. I'm going to go win those people. How do you get up there? Only by helicopter. He says, oh, I'll pay. He's got all the money. You know, American missionary pays. They bring up him up there, drop him in there. And this, he starts looking around, and he says, where's you from? He says, I'm a missionary. I want to start a church. He says, there's already one here in Spanish. And the guy says, really? Well, can I meet the pastor? And it says, sure, sure. First, I want to introduce you to my mom, who got one to Christ just last month. And let me introduce you to so-and-so, who just got baptized last week. I mean, they're up 8,000 feet above sea level, okay? And he's baptized. And finally, he's meeting everybody in the village, this one to Christ. And then they introduce him to the pastor. I haven't seen an American in 6 years. Can I meet the pastor? He says, and all the guys in Spanish says, he's our pastor. Well, so you got to understand, God doesn't have to have intelligence. He just needs somebody who's determined. And that's what God wants to put inside of you, a determination that he can use you. And that at 17 years old, I said, I guess if God can use him, and using this guy with this lisp, Lord, I'm available. And that's where God started me. Okay, stories like that change your life. All right? Okay, good questions. And it's all about missions, and I like that. Okay, quickly. Number six, the commission according to John 20, 21 to 23. Who was the last one that read? Who read Luke 24? Who did that? You did?
I read something there.
Well, I read Acts.
You read Acts. Maybe.
I did Mark. He did Luke.
You just read Acts chapter 6.
That's right. Okay, well, Weston, read John 20, 21 to 23.
John 20, is it?
Yeah, on the commission according to John 20. John 20, verse 21 to 23.
Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so I send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins you retain, they are retained.
That is a great commission. From John's point of view, as the Father hath sent, who's actually doing the sending?
God.
So send I you. That's a command. It's not like, if you want to go. But you better get the Holy Spirit. And what are you doing when you're going out soul winning? Starting a church. You're removing sin. You're removing the account of sin. You're going into a prison and you're getting people pardoned. Mm-hmm. Amen? You're getting them to realize there's a pardon if you'll just come and believe somebody took your place. All right, here's your reading assignment. By next week, I need you to read the introduction in your missions book. You need to read pages 7, 8, 9, and 10. It's just 4 pages. And I'll see you back next week. Let's stand for prayer.
So, what do we have to
outline for next week? Okay, technically you need Genesis chapter 1, outline and questions. If you want to stay up to speed, you need to do that. You need to read through the book of Hosea at least once, if not twice. Okay? You need to start looking for, again, there's quite a few things to do. You need to start looking for which one of the minor prophets there is a life. And I'm going to tell you, Jonah is a good one, Amos is a good one. Hosea is a good one, because you're going to find out that Hosea was told by God, you've been looking for Mrs. Wright? Well, you won't marry Mrs. Wrong. And you learn about, he gets 3 children, he has to name them very sad names. Alright? You look at the life and how people received him. You need to look at the lies, and I want you to start thinking about who you can write about. Jonah will be the easiest, because you've got Second Kings telling you about how popular he was. Everybody loved him. Somebody had their hand up. Eric, did you hear that?
Well, we have to, didn't you also say that we have to write down 2 things for next week that we learned from Hosea?
Yeah, you need to, well, that's next week. Next week at the end of the lesson, because we'll be in the chapter.
Okay.
I want you to start making sure you spot at least 2 things that go, wow, I learned that. Because you'll be learning a lot, but I need you to think of 2 every time, because it really makes something, for me, I worry that we're going to cover a lot of material and you're like, I didn't get anything. I want to make sure you get it. Yes.
Well, it's going up going from chapter 1 of Genesis.
Yes.
Read Hosea twice, is it?
I would recommend that, yes, by next week.
All right, was there something else to
you need to start, while you're looking at that, see if you can see the life of Hosea. While you're doing it, you're only going to get it at the beginning of it. Okay. But another person, you don't have to start working on it yet, but start looking at Jonah or Amos. I'm ahead of the game because you're not made enough familiar. Looking at the life of them and how they were received. And just try to get the idea of a prophet. A prophet is somebody who's not popular. He's having to do... If I had you read about Ezekiel, you know what Ezekiel had to do for 200 days? He went every day, he'd get up, he'd strip himself down to his knickers,
and he would lay out in the middle of the street in Jerusalem. And just everybody walking around and passing right by him, and just laying out there naked almost. And everybody's saying, there's that dumb prophet laying out there. And then God would say, now turn over on the other side. And way out there, they're like, now he's on the other side. What's going on? Prophets were asked to do crazy things to get points across. So I want you to see a little bit of that in the Minor Prophets. Then I want you to read 7 to 10 in your missions book. Okay? And be thinking about, if I recall, how would I prepare to go? What would be the need? I want you to pick some place in the world. Now, you can pick Ireland. You wouldn't have to do any cultural language change, maybe. Work in the world. What if God called you to Australia? Some people say, please call me to Australia. That wouldn't be very hard. But what if God called you to Alaska? Just look in somewhere and tell me where. Just pick one place. I don't care. And then look at the culture, the language. Get on Wikipedia. Find out India. Now, how do you win those guys who are on the other side of the Dell hotline?
Is that 7 to 10? Is that 7 to 10 through this book?
That's that book. Just page 7 to 10. All right, let's stand. Let's pray. All right, Brother Dan, would you thank the Lord, please?
Father, thank you, Lord, for the past few hours, Lord, of just learning and the time that's put in to teach us, Lord. We thank you for that, Lord, using Pastor Craig. And Father, thank you for all the information, but Lord, thank you for a perfect book.
Amen.
Thank you for a Bible. Thank you for the ultimate truth, Lord. Help us to be in both the books that we have to read and the things that we have to do, but also to be in our Bibles and get this truth way down deep in our hearts, Lord. And we thank you that each person can be here. Lord, may keep us faithful and committed. And bless the rest of our day. In Jesus' name.
Amen. You can answer in there. Don't forget to answer. There are questions in your Genesis outline. Remember the end of that introduction? There are questions there. I'd like you to work on those questions as well. I need you to.
So them and your
mom.
God bless you, brother.
Yeah.
Bye. Bye. So them and.
And don't forget to pass in your money and your forms if you've got them. If you got them, I can get them next week. I'd just like to remind you.
Yeah, so them and the other questions about yourself.
Yes. Okay. Now, these should just be answering here. I just need to be able to see that you answered.
A separate sheet.
Separate sheet.
And with the other one.
With the other one. Okay. Yes.
Yeah. All right. You can go to the other one.
Are you okay? It's
going to
be good.
All right.
No, it's working.
Don't even ask him about how.
I don't know what to do. These guys just need to use one class. You know, I don't know what it was like in the Bible.